It is Thursday, the 18th of April, and this is episode 160 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to the Good Ship Digital Outbox. We are going to navigate you through the stormy waters of this week's technology news. I am Captain Chris, and I'm joined by Abel Seaman. Ian, hello, Ian.
I know last week you said you're going to do a new intro.
Shall we go back to the original?
But that is really stretching. I'm also glad. I'm actually surprised I didn't say Abel Seaman Dick.
Actually, correction. I'm joined by Abel Seaman Dick. How are you today?
I am better than the last 2 days. A little bit of food poisoning this week.
Lovely. Which, clearing out the system.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Certainly some things have been cleared.
Lovely.
And talking about clearing up, I'll hold my hand up. I messed up the audio last week. So a slight faux pas.
It was a little bit shouty and whispery. Shall we put it that way?
But bizarrely, if you'd listened to us live, which you can't do, but if you were one of us two during the recording,
it was
fantastic. And even when I was doing the edit, I thought, you know, we sound perfect this week. And unfortunately, I do.
What can we do to ruin that?
I do have fat fingers, and they may have just ever so slightly made a mistake.
Hey, it's all good. It was all still listenable.
I'd love to say it won't happen again.
Yeah, but it just will.
It will.
Good stuff. So let's get on with some news, shall we? And this week we're going to start with Twitter and back in the news, but this time for a music service that they've just released. I mean, literally, is it today they've announced it?
Yes.
Like hours ago. And this is a web and iOS app, and it's basically a music discovery tool. So it comes up with a ton of music on it in your browser or on your app. And it will play previews up until the point that you either sign in with Spotify or Audio. And then you can listen to the whole tracks as long as whichever you've signed in with has access to that track. Didn't see this one come in. Only the rumours when people said there was some sort of weird website.
Yeah, a week ago, music.twitter.com appeared, and you could sign in, but it didn't let you do anything. And then a couple of artists in America got early access, and some presenters in America because it was their big music show last week. So there was a whole lot of people expecting it to come, and it's launched today. And
it's a weird fit, don't you think? I mean, it was not that. Well, I guess actually more and more they're kind of trying to get into the music arena. So actually, that's good.
I think Twitter are desperate to be a media company, you know, and they've talked about, you know, starting to do things around. There's a whole other research around how, you know, people who talk the most. So if they look at the buzz, if you look at the number of tweets about a particular show, it ties very closely with actual viewer numbers.
Okay,
so they're is it Nielsen in America is their ratings provider, and I think what they're saying is if you follow what people tweet about. And I guess I'm trying to remember the name. Is it ZBox? Is that the name of the... Is it Z?
Oh, I know what you mean. The one where you have the kind of alongside tweeting thing going on.
Yes.
That sounds right.
I think there's been a number of companies that are saying, well, we can use a lot of this user-created data and get, you know, good stats and pump adverts in and, you know, start to I guess, charge more. And I think Twitter have seen it as well and saying, we can be more than just tweets. We can do more.
And it's a good-looking website. I mean, it reminds me of Withings, the Withings, scale interface. So it's really clean and fresh and, a proper web app type thing with just basically product front and centre, which is all the music.
And you can, it's four different, is it popular, emerging, suggested, and now playing? With popular, emerging, and suggest. So popular and emerging are all based on, you know, what's happening right now. Emerging's, you know, maybe some undiscovered music you're not hearing. Whereas suggested is seemingly based on who you follow and maybe what your other people you follow are looking at or listening to. And then now playing is all about people on your friends list tagging, you know, hashtag now playing.
Yeah, which is kind of the common thing now, isn't it? I think a lot of apps use the now playing.
Yeah.
Monkier. Yeah, so...
And the iOS app is really nice as well, you know, so it's not, it doesn't just feel like a web view. It feels like a real proper app, really nicely designed. And it's interesting just the fact that it's a separate app. It's not just an update to the Twitter app. It's a pure...
I haven't actually logged in with my Twitter account with it yet. I mean, it seems like an interesting another way of music discovery. Twitter's got a lot better at it within app. You know, in Twitter apps are getting much, much better for music discovery. But this is, you know, a great way of finding out what the populace are listening to now. It's great.
I do wonder if it'll be better than Spotify or Last.fm for discovery.
I would say for within the pop arena, probably. Because to get to the more kind of random stuff, you have to go a bit wider than just the general mosh of people.
And another thing that was a bit odd when you go to do the sign up, I don't think I recognised it in the web page, but on the iOS app, when you click on Spotify to sign in, it says sign in with your Facebook account.
That's because Spotify went to your mainly Facebook login, didn't they? So it's
it just feels very strange that within a Twitter app, it's your main competitor pops up.
I never linked my Facebook account. I didn't.
I've actually been toying with the idea of signing up for premium again.
Mm. It's good. Yeah, I listen to it all day. Google Glass. They've so this is the little sort of headset you wear with like glasses, and it kind of tells you and rules your world. And they have said they're not going to allow developers to put advertising on it, but they are shipping soon.
Shipping yesterday and today.
Okay, so shipping now.
The first developers that paid, was it last year's Google I.O.? I think the
did they pay or did they just got given one, didn't they? Or was it
I think they had to put a deposit down on actually being the first 15, is it the first 1,500 or the first? Okay. There was basically a queue because I remember last year people got little glass blocks with their number of where they were in the queue. So people like Robert Scoble and the guys from the Twitter network were all had their little glass blocks saying they can't wait for this. And Robert Scoble got his today. And there's a couple of the first people got it yesterday. And I mean, you need to pay. It's $1,500. So it's not like they're giving it away.
I might have paid that, though.
It certainly is. It is like the kind of hot gadget.
I'd still be completely embarrassed about wearing it anywhere where I could be seen. I'm sure that'll pass by everyone. A bit like, carrying an iPad used to be an embarrassing thing.
And a bit like, I don't know, spending 30 grand on a cat and covering in cheese holes.
just.
But let's not talk about embarrassing helmets. Because I'm sure a Google Glass is far more embarrassing. It
absolutely is.
So yeah, the first devices are now coming out. People are starting to put up videos, so you're starting to see, what it's like. But also, it'll be interesting for folk like, Robert Scoble is going to five different places over the world over the next week and a half, including two or three in Europe. And what he's looking for is, will he get a reaction? Will he get people saying, no, you can't film here? Even though he'll say, I'm not filming. It's like, don't care, take them off. There's a poster in a shop in Brighton that says, no Google Glass allowed.
Really?
Yep. And I don't know whether it's tongue in cheek.
Maybe.
It's owned by three Apple guys.
And great way of really advertising, fun. Anyway. But yeah.
Yep. And I know we've also seen some specs coming out. So the actual hardware specs. So it's bone conduction is how you hear the audio.
So you don't have to shove it in your ear. It's actually just going down through your jawbone, basically.
Their battery life, they're saying, is you get a typical full day.
Which normally means not quite as much as you'd want.
Certainly on the iPhone at the moment. I don't know why. It just seems to be not lasting for me right now. And display-wise, I can't remember the actual specs of the actual little display itself, but it's equivalent of a 25-inch screen from 8 feet away.
Yeah, I mean, that's not massive, is it? But it's...
No. But you wouldn't want it to be a massive.
No, of course you don't. What I'm interested in is the line of sight of it, because do you have to consciously look up to see it? And that's, because it is above your eye, and I'd be interested to hear what people's reactions are to that. Is it just subconsciously in your line of sight, and therefore you can just read it without really looking at it, kind of thing?
And it's got 16 gig of onboard storage, which actually is pretty good.
Yeah. Considering all the phones coming with 16 gigs, and I know it's coming up, but it's pretty good for a very, very sleek device, is it? It's very, very lightweight.
Yep, and it's 720p of recording, and it's a 5-megapixel camera, and certainly the pictures that are coming out of it look really good.
Yeah. Be a while before we get our hands on one, though.
It will. And I mean, you said right at the start of this, there's no advertising allowed. Mm. The developers have been told, which has seemed a bit strange, seeing as Google is an advertising company.
You do get the impression they also want to keep things pure as well. I guess because people are paying for this as well, why they're not trying to make their money out of advertising, maybe.
Yeah, but plus, also,
I guess advertising is going to be in the services that come and get shown. You know, hey, buy ice cream here today.
Yeah. Another thing is, but a developer cannot charge for his app either.
Right, so they're keeping it a free ecosystem right now.
Yes, and allegedly, and I'm trying to remember the name, I think it was Glassware, the name is what they're calling the apps that are going to appear in Glass, but they also don't run on Google Glass itself. So I think it's totally dependent on cloud all the time to have the connection, and the app runs on the cloud, and it's
putting notifications up. Okay.
So
you need that connection. And again, we're not quite there. We're getting there. Built-up areas are going to be fine, aren't they? So that's, you know, it's one of those things. It'll be a bit, it'll probably be fine around Glasgow, but as soon as you come out to the sticks, it won't be.
Yeah. And also, if you do have a Glass, don't sell it or don't lend it, because Google will shut it down.
Okay, so you can't just make money on it, because otherwise they would have just been on eBay. They probably still will be, but yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. I think people would have put it on eBay and were hoping for like 10 grand or something.
Oh, of course. So, and people would have paid that, I think.
Yeah.
Weirdly. But yeah, there's plenty of people that are against all, you know, the Glass idea and in general, and there's also the protest groups. Stop the Androids thing? Stop the... Anyway, whatever. There's people moaning about it. And like you say, will you be allowed to go? You can't go to the cinema wearing one of these things, because they just won't let you.
No, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of places where they're going to say, if you're walking down the street, you're going to get folk getting attacked. Who's going to be the first Glass wearer there? Somebody comes up and slaps
you. Looking at me? You recording me? Come here with your Glass.
But then, I mean, it must be the same.
I'll show you Glass.
I mean, there's...
I'm very tired.
Yeah, but it's like we've dropped an English train spotting. But you know, like traffic wardens and, you know, a lot of council employees are now wearing cameras all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And they don't get attacked.
No.
Right, Leap Motion. So this was, I don't remember. We haven't talked about this before, I don't think.
Yes, we did.
Did we? Okay. This is I don't think so. This is a Kinect type device that sits basically in front of a screen, and it will effectively allows you to do gestures to control what's on that screen. And they've just managed to get a deal to bundle this device with future HP devices.
Yep. And I'm still very tempted to buy one of them. It's about the size of an iPhone. Sits in front of your...
It looks very sleek. It's just like a little...
Yep, sits in front of your computer, in front of your monitor, and allows you to, you know, almost mimic touch.
I watched the video, and I thought, that's clever, and I thought, no way, mouse, touchpad, much better idea.
Yeah,
I want to waggle my hands in front of a massive screen? When am I ever going to be sat in front of a massive screen where I really just want to use my arms to move things?
Yeah, I'm sure I said that to you about Kinect and be like, but no, but I want it.
And how many times have I used my Kinect? About four.
And I tend to agree. It's part of me wants to try it for trying its sake. It's a bit like, it's almost like the Nexus. You know, I wanted a Nexus to try Android, and I want Nestis to try the, how practical is it?
And if they can get it down to the right price and make it a non-thing, which generally speaking, when you embed things, it generally is that kind of price.
Yes, but I think the device itself was around about $70 or $80.
So it's really that.
So it's not...
It's within the scope of geek people. Yeah. I can try that out, $70. Yeah. It'll be, you know, it'll be 70 quid when it gets here, if not more.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, I mean, I want to buy a quadcopter right now, and it's over £1,000 now, and this isn't just...
Plus, you've got to buy the camera to go with that, otherwise what's the point?
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's another 350 quid. Yeah.
Anyway, shush.
Yeah.
So it's almost like
we'll
you've seen my
money.
Secret.
It's we'll like talk about your loft.
Like don't talk about my loft. A, it's full of spiders. And B, I've got all my controllers from all my consoles now down and plugged into my Mac at the same time.
All got the nicknames.
But yeah, the Leap Motion, as I said, I really like the tech. I think bundling it is definitely the right way forward. I don't know. I can see limited times when I'd use it, especially on a laptop. And that's, I think, where they're going to start bundling them. So,
well, is it, don't touch my screen. Do it just slightly in front.
Well, to be fair, nobody is allowed to touch my screen.
No, I bet they're not. I bet that's on the fear of death.
I even got an apology on Tuesday because, I've touched your screen. Sorry.
Brother Fosser.
It is. I don't like that.
And I think embedding's the only way, because otherwise you're going to have this bit of technology which needs support, and it won't get that support unless it's generic, basically. So
I think it's a good move for Leap. Because they've not even released the first product. It's not out till May.
No.
And obviously, they've got a lot of buzz. But it wouldn't make me want to buy an HP.
So. No. Does it help HP? I don't know. Maybe they're just they're stabbing in the dark. O2 have refreshed their tariffs, and they've called it O2 Refresh. Unique.
I wanted to press a little bell and just go ding, 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 ding.
controlled ARD, their tariff. I think we talked about this earlier in the year. No, not this year. Probably end of last year, actually. Was it earlier this year? I'm looking at nods and I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, we've talked about this before, where I think it was OFT decided that mobile operators weren't allowed to start adjusting prices of calls mid contract, because people were getting confused and getting upset by the fact that, you know, they were having their prices thing. And the operator said, well, we can't not adjust them because it has to go, depends on, you know, airtime and all that. And also we can't adjust them because, we want to adjust them and the handset's involved in all this and we can't drop the price. I'm really making a fluff of this, but you know what I mean. As in, the two prices were in this one bundled thing. They wanted to adjust the price of one, but couldn't because the other one was involved. There you go. And now they've come out and said, right, we're going to do this fabulous thing of separating these two prices out. So you now pay for your calls and data, and you pay for your device, and they come as two different bills.
And I think they've also said for early adopters, for people that do want, you know, a new phone every year, this is a good way of doing it.
Because basically you can pay off your mobile phone without and keep your contract that you've been stuck with for 2 years.
Yes.
It seems like the most sensible thing. It's almost like having an unlocked handset, you know, that you bought separately, like I did with my Nexus, and just a contract. And that's the way around you want it. Exactly.
And that's what I've been doing now. You know, whether it was an O2, I was doing that because I was on a Simplicity plan and just basically buying my unlocked phone. And then I've moved to 3 for the data. But it's much the same. It's so yes, I've got a 30-day contract, you could call it, but all I'm really doing is buying some, you know, cell time and data, and I'll use whatever phone I like. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and I think I feel more comfortable doing that as well after having been stuck with my last pile of crap for 2 years.
Mm. So O2 Refresh, good in principle, but their data is so stingy.
Yeah, they are being stingy. Especially when T-Mobile do a very similar package to the O2's highest offering, which is £22 a month, roughly speaking, and T-Mobile are doing unlimited, basically. Unlimited everything for that much money on a data-only contract.
I mean, it's like there's three price points, there's 12, 17, and 22 a month. And unfortunately, what they're focusing on rather than data is call time. So unlimited minutes.
Care about anymore.
Yeah, unlimited minutes and text and 2 gig of data is 22 a month, which isn't, it's not that bad, but I would rather have had, you know, 600 minutes and 10 gig.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that would have been fantastic. And even then, you would say, well, that's still a lot higher than 3 and my £12 a month.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't feel quite right. But then again, you know, I don't think they care. Maybe they're not trying to go after the data people. They just want phone people, really. But
I don't think they are, because I think they realise that folk on data have went to 3 already.
Mm. There we go. They're going to be attaching it to certain devices to start with. Mainly data devices as it goes. So it's interesting. But, yeah, it doesn't really go along those lines. But yeah, the kind of popular handsets are all in there that you can tie it to. I think it's going to be the way forward. Since that you know, the OFT findings, I think everyone's going to be doing this soon.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. It's the popular handsets and also the BlackBerry Z10.
I saw a little smile across your face and wondered what I'd said, but actually a little dirty thought was crossing your mind. WordPress this week has been, well, and during last week actually, has been targeted by a botnet, and specifically it's targeting just WordPress and effectively going for the login and trying to get in as admin using dictionary definition attacks. Tens of thousands of computers, apparently, zombie computers, were sort of doing this. And they've got like a 90,000 IP list, so they can't be blacklisted based on IP. And it was pretty resilient. I mean, they were just taking down sites just because of this, you know, denial of service, the amount of sheer number of requests going to sites. And it didn't really matter what WordPress, you know, they didn't care whether it was a big provider or a small provider. It was just whether it was WordPress. It seems that they were trying to get their kind of small time, low powered botnet beefed up with access to proper servers with backplane connections and stuff.
Yes, quite a nasty attack actually. It took I think it affected lots of people. And as you're saying, it wasn't proud. You know, it didn't go after the biggest. It was anybody.
Yeah. Even those it didn't affect, it was all being talked about, and therefore people having to react before, you know, they got.
Yeah, and I've got a few WordPress blogs, and I've been lazy. They had admin as the kind of use, and we have other users certainly in the Digital Outbox one. We've got other users rather than admin, but it was still there, so yeah. It's now gone. You know, so the easy kind of defense is remove admin users, and that kind of takes away at least maybe part of the threat. But there are a couple of plugins that I'll need to look at adding in as well, because you can do things around, you know, try and log in three times and it kind of locks it out and things like that. And there's things you can do at the Apache level that you can also
On a generic attack like that, even simple things like adding a password to access the login page, you know, just a secondary password, even if it's, you know, open and written there, it doesn't really matter because a bot can't get through that because it doesn't know because it's a generic attack. So just little things like that can just help you.
And the good thing is, I mean, our passwords we've got are strong, you know. So, but it's the same as anywhere. Don't use dictionary words. Try and use a strong password or chain lots of passwords together. You know, dictionary words together, but separated with symbols.
We use LastPass and all those kind of nice things.
Yep.
Surprising stat: 17% of the world's websites powered by WordPress.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
You know what I'm pleased about? That in 3% of our podcasts. You take over the stat duties, because I would hate to be like all the time that I do my interesting stat.
Yeah, but you're gutted now that I got to say that stat on you. That's why
I kind of left it. I left it dangling. It was like a worm on a hook, and you just couldn't resist.
I gobbled.
I just thought I'd keep the kind of ship fish analogy
that was
going.
Weak.
It was weak. Desperate. I'll cut it out. But you can see it's as weak as you like.
Guardian, they've decided they can't be asked making their own news, and they're going to ask users to do it instead with something called Guardian Witness. Basically, they're asking users to contribute their own news stories and journalism, and they will get potentially used in actual stories on The Guardian. But also there's a spin-off website called Guardian Witness, which will show all the kind of news and videos and stories that people have submitted. I agree.
I don't know what to think about this. At first, I was like, "Well, we're seeing it all the time, you know. We've saw obviously the you know Boston Marathon attacks, and it was all user content. You know what you classed user content was what the main media networks were using. You know, because that was the thing that caught the actual."
Can get that straight away because someone's willing to say, look at my video. Whereas to get the proper footage, or I say the proper footage, we'd get the feeds from the actual you know, broadcasting things. It took ages to get all the licensing in place. That's the ironic thing, isn't it?
But also, there's so much happening now that it's such a connected you know, world. Mm. Everybody's got a smart device that you know that it is a legitimate source.
I think it's unbelievable how much of what goes on in the world is now videoed. It's just bonkers, like the meteorite thingy in Russia. Like,
but did we talk about this?
No, I don't know.
Did we talk about I couldn't understand because a couple of weeks before that, I'd seen it was like one of these YouTube videos. It was like the 100 worst Russian road traffic.
Yeah. I know,
but it was all Russian.
Yeah, because they video everything in their car.
Yeah, and it's because their insurance industry is so crooked because the police and insurance people are always at it.
So they got a video to say this is actually what happened that day. Yeah, we're having it more and more actually. We've got there's Roadhawk over here, which is a similar idea.
And I mean, we're seeing it. I see cyclists a lot more, and it's because you know to protect themselves and also if somebody does something wrong, I can see it. I can see it in a couple of years' time. I think a lot of people will just have the little mount to put their phone in to record as they're driving along, or have it built into their car.
I think insurers will probably start asking and requesting and needing it. So black boxes have all started coming more and more popular. So, especially for younger.
So we're seeing user content. And I mean, the Guardian, what they're saying is that this is going to be integrated into their back end, so that as you submit content, as the journalist is putting together the story. Exactly. And the bit I didn't like, and I mean, I think it's an iPhone only at the moment, or iOS only at the moment. So I'll just unlock. There is an app. Guardian Witness, and it's powered by EE. We forgot to mention it is actually powered by EE. And I was a bit confused about what they actually power, and seemingly, but when you open it, there's assignments of the week.
Right.
So it's actually, and you're like, so what's this assignments? Because I never mentioned that at all in the actual story, but you can go into assignments of the week, and it's like tall buildings and all that kind of stuff. And you
take
go in
photos
and,
of tall buildings. Wow.
Yeah, and you can add your contribution, and it's powered by EE. And it's like, is it powered by EE just purely to get, you know, sponsorship on it? But once a month, the assignment will be for EE. So they'll suggest an assignment that they want people to contribute to.
I don't mind the concept of it. I quite like the idea of communal journalism. But I have to say, most of the time, the worst bits of like the BBC and whatever is when they have, you know, vox pops from the public or the quotes on the website, which are never vetted. And it's always outlandish. Horrible.
So, I can see what they're trying to do, but it feels like from a decade ago when people were being asked to, you know, some of the big newspapers were saying, come and blog for us for free. We'll get the exposure, should be enough payment for you.
Do you know, though, I think if it wasn't someone big and established like The Guardian doing this, I think actually it would have more traction and more interest. If it was viewed as an independent like startup, I think it would actually get more. Even though Guardian comes with a lot of, you know, initial, you know, traction as far as they can get it out there and they get the idea out there, I think because it feels attached, I don't think you'll get quite the same enthusiastic response.
But there's a fair amount of content on it already. You know, so
people are all willing to shout into the ether, aren't they?
Yes.
Eve Williams, basically, he's acquired Project Matter. Now, Project Matter was a Kickstarter, wasn't it, that was going to go in depth into technology stories.
And it has, so technology and science, and I think they've had 5 out now so far, and they've been very good. So I backed these in Kickstarter, and I'm sure I mentioned it last year, you know, during the Kickstarter campaign, and also once it finally launched. The articles have been really good. So Ev Williams, so he's the founder of Twitter, or one of the founders of Twitter, and he's also, he's passionate seemingly about long form publishing, so not just you know, which seems kind of total contrast to Twitter, but it's something that he has said he's passionate about, and that's why he's launched Medium. So Medium is all about long form content as well. So that Medium have basically bought Matter, but Matter, the difference is on Medium you can't charge for content, and Matter are still going to charge for their articles. So right now I think it's 99 pence per article. And whether they tweak that format slightly, but they say they're going to stick to that principle.
How do you feel then as a Kickstarter who's trying to put money into this one place, and effectively now that's been transferred somewhere else?
I feel fine, because to me the Kickstarter was, I think, again, I'll get this wrong, but depending on what level you committed to, I think it got you the first 6 articles and got Matter off the ground, you know, so you were...
So you're more saying, I want something like this more than...
Yeah, and maybe I'm just a bit more, maybe I'm too frivolous with my cash. It was more about the service, and it was more about the people behind it that I felt passionate about. I mean, if I go and look at the stuff that I read out of Wired, or I read, you know, when the stuff that I stick into my pocket, it is all this long form content.
But that's kind of what I mean, though. So you've tried to put some money in, and the whole concept is get one concept off the ground, and someone else has come and taken that money effectively by buying it in an, you know, weird way. But, you know, see, does it change it beyond where you really wanted, you know, what the Kickstarter was all about?
Not for me. Okay. I can understand maybe some people saying, hold on, I've given, you know, we raised $50,000 to get this started, and that's went to the guys founding it, and they've launched a service, and now it's been bought.
Now they've buggered off.
Well, they've not buggered off.
No, I know they haven't, but they, you know, they could do.
They could do. They've joined the editorial team at Medium as well. Mm. And there's no financial discussions. And I guess that would be the controversial thing if they turned around and said Medium has acquired us for $2 million. And you're like, okay, so you're taking my £1 and kind of turned it into 30.
Mm-hmm.
That could maybe, yeah. You know,
because I mean, as an say another thing about, you know, Kickstarter is effectively it's looking for investment funds, but you know, you're not getting anything back from it other than a few free things. But I guess it's just another way of raising money, isn't it? So
I don't see. I can definitely see how some people could see an angle on it. I think it's good, hopefully good for Matter because it keeps them going.
Yep.
I think they are doing something different. It was always a bit out there, you know, actually charging for individual articles. Not many people are doing it.
No, and clearly they've got enough interest to do that.
Yes.
LinkedIn, probably the most widely subscribed to social network that no one actually uses, probably apart from Google Plus.
Facebook.
Yeah. Well, they bought Pulse. Now, Pulse was a social news reader type site. So again, a news aggregation and cataloging, I guess. And turns out LinkedIn, apparently, according to LinkedIn, turning into the place where professionals come and find information on their chosen profession, news and sort of what's going on in their profession. And they reckon Pulse can help them deliver up better content in this way. Because, of course, we both visit LinkedIn every day, don't we?
All this was news to me.
Yeah. And the only time I ever hear from LinkedIn is like every 2 seconds when they mail me.
The mailing is particularly annoying.
Yeah.
And
you still don't unsubscribe and get rid of it though, do you? That's the problem.
No, it's almost like a kind of grudging. It's turned into a grudging, I guess I have to be on there. It's a bit like Facebook.
The only time people want to go on there is when they're looking for a job.
Yeah. Although it's quite interesting when it's clear that somebody's like desperately looking for a job and they've updated.
Yeah, you know when...
Chris has updated his CV.
If you're an employer and one of your employees has just updated their LinkedIn profile, they're definitely off.
Shaq has updated his new skills.
You're sitting there like,
what new skills? I know he's not been in a training course in 2.5 years. So what new skills? Clearly somebody's polishing a turd. He doesn't listen.
It's fine. Anyway, so yeah, this is kind of non-news, but I don't know, maybe they're saying it's true. Maybe they do get people reading up on their stuff.
We say it's non-news, but I mean LinkedIn itself, it's still a massive network.
Oh yeah, it's massive. And they got massive by stealing all your contacts without telling you.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the bit that annoys me the most is it's almost like lazy recruiters getting in touch and saying, hi, we noticed you're interested in it. It's like, no, I wasn't interested in the job. You're just spamming me in the off chance that I might be hooked by your, we have this interesting role that we might like to talk to you about.
I've heard of cases where they use people on LinkedIn to get other people into interview or get other people to submit CVs tick a box in the, they know who they want already, but they just want people from LinkedIn just to tick a box for them. It's a bit
and they also launched, to be fair, they launched a new app today as well, which is a bit more of there's a definite trend over the kind of last year, you know, a lot more, you know, big photos, a lot more visual. And we're seeing lots of apps like that now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely another style trend going on in the web world, isn't there? I quite like it actually. I still quite like what the web looks like nowadays. More app focused for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Gov.uk, the website for all your government needs, has won an award, quite a prestigious award, Design of the Year, apparently. Who gives that out then? Who has the right? Yeah, I don't know either. Who has the right to say that's the Design of the Year? Clearly, Hugh Laurie is the one saying it, so it must have credibility, right?
And I mean, there was 98 entries, and not just in websites. This is the big deal about this. It's not just you know, what's the best looking website in the UK right now. This was looking at architecture and looking at art and looking at other designs, all, you know, furniture, fashion, etc.
And I think it has to have been looking at other things, because when you first go to gov.uk, it does look a bit like a domain holding page. You know those pages where you buy a domain and you don't use it, and therefore someone shoves adverts all over it.
I know what you're saying, but see, for something that is delivering a service.
And that's exactly it. It's actually very, very clean and straightforward, and it's very easy to search and actually get to exactly what you want. So yeah, I can see why on that front, as a service, it's incredibly clean and straightforward. But it does look like a domain.
I think, well.
An attractive domain holding page, but some of them are very attractive.
Yeah, but that's GoDaddy again. You don't want to use GoDaddy. I follow quite closely what they do, because some of the practices that they're doing, some of the differences and changes that they've done over the last year have been really good.
It's the first time you've seen the government kind of innovate with this, and it probably means the government aren't really involved.
Well, it just feels like they're doing proper design, and they've actually looked at some of the flaws, elsewhere. And
you know what it is? The government have contracted in someone and said, we need this web thing sorted. And the people who know what they're doing have actually sorted it and made it made it good. And it will be good up until such time as the politicians take an interest and think, well, actually, we need to do this instead. And then it will all break. But there you go. For a couple of years, we'll probably be all right.
Yep, and I mean, they're moving more and more services onto it as well.
Yeah, yeah. All of the ones that were spread across all these other websites have now come centrally into... Because DirectGov used to be one of the sites, and they used to have, like, BusinessLink and things like that, and they all these things are now coming to one place. Hoorah! That's exactly what we've been asking for. Like I say, up until the politicians get involved, and they decide they need to split it all out again.
Yeah, or until there's one rogue element left behind, and they say, no, we're not moving, we want our lovely photos from the 90s. Yes.
We want our animated GIFs. That is the end of our news this week. However, we have picks. Sorry if you're hoping this is going to be a short one. It's not. Ian, let's start with your pick.
My pick this week is an app for both Mac and iOS, and it's called InstaShare. So if you go to instashareapp.com, and if you remember, I'm sure it was Mountain Lion when it came out. Maybe it was actually Line. AirDrop appeared for Mac. So if you've got two Macs close by, instead of like worrying about, hooking or connecting up to them and wiring them up or getting on the same, you're on the same wireless network, you just AirDrop files, back and forward, nice and easy.
Like a really, really quick and easy infrastructure network, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. But why the devil was that not an iOS so I could do the same? Mm. Why couldn't I just...
Yeah.
It's such a no-brainer, and that's a disappointing thing. I know I'm getting off topic. That's a disappointing thing about iOS 6. Something like that seemed a no-brainer,
yeah,
and it wasn't there.
Never happened.
So third party stepped in, install the InstaShare app client on your Mac, install it on your iOS device. Both are free, and they just share files. It just works.
And that'll be good up until the point that in the next iOS they do release it with an AirDrop in it, and then it's all gone again.
If you want to remove adverts, it's 69p in that purchase.
There you go. It's not exactly going to break the bank then either, so that's brilliant.
No.
Okay, I've got a pick today. Mine is, if you go to a website called www.pointerpointer.com, and basically I'm just going to let you go there and have fun with it, because I quite liked it. It made me giggle.
I went there through the week.
Yeah, it's good.
I'd forgotten about it. I'd seen it a little while ago, and I forgot about it. I thought, I'm sure I remember this. And then as soon as I ran, I was like,
It's weirdly Moorish. I can't explain why. It just is. So go for it. Pointerpointer.com. And this week we have more than one pick each. Here we go. Back to Ian.
exciting. It is exciting. I'm almost breaking out into a sweat now. I do like my bundles. I've mentioned Mac Heist before. So Mac Heist run lots of bundle deals. They're doing one of their nano deals at the moment. It's only running for 7 days, but it's eight apps for $10, and the apps are fantastic. So if you've not, even if you're just looking to buy one of these apps, it makes sense. So the apps included are, first of all, Fantastical, which I've recommended before. So it's a great calendar replacement for Mac. There is Xscope, which if you're doing any design work, is great for measuring on the actual screen itself. Another really well-reviewed app. There's Clarify, which is really good for doing screen annotations and sharing it out with people. And then Pathfinder. I use Pathfinder all the time. It's my Finder replacement. It's not unlocked at the moment, but after 1.5 days, they're already at 13,000 purchases, and they need 30,000 before it unlocks. So it will unlock. And other ones are Totals. I can't even remember what that was. I think it was about presenting tables and graphs. iStopMotion was for doing little video capture and motion. You move it, what is it like morph, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Clean My Mac helps you clean your Mac. And then there's a new game called Little Inferno, which is from the guys that did World of Goo.
I've seen that on, I've played it. In fact, I've got it on my iPad.
All that for $10, yeah. It's just a bit of a bargain.
Yeah, that does sound good. I mean, like you say, if you're in the interest of Pathfinder anyway, then why not? Because I'm sure Pathfinder wasn't.
Pathfinder, I think, is $40. Yeah. Xscope was $30. Fantastica was $20. So it's, you know, $10 for all eight is great.
I might get that just for Pathfinder because I hate Finder. I really do detest it. It bugs me every day. There you go. So I might go and do that, actually. That sounds good. I've got another pick.
Wow.
I know. This is like, and this was unbelievable. So today I work with a chap called Loz. He is our guru. He's got more letters after his name than anyone healthy should ever have. And basically it's Google Remote Desktop. I can't believe I've not heard of this. And basically you can get it from the Chrome Web App Store, and you activate it from within, you know, your Chrome browser, and pretty much you can share any computer that you've activated it on. So,
wow.
Yeah. And remotely, it doesn't matter where it is, you know, why or wherefore, you sign in, give it the permissions it needs, and off it goes. And it's basically VNC, but in the browser, and it works perfectly. So, you know, you've got access to the computer and you use, you know, just like the pointer on your screen is the pointer on its screen. It's brilliant.
Wow.
So simple. It looks better than VNC and all that as well. Actually, it looks very clean. And I'm sure it'll develop, but I just couldn't believe I'd never heard of it. But there you go. So go to the Chrome App Store and you'll be able to go and pick up Google Remote Desktop.
I've not heard of it either, but there's over a million users of it.
Yeah, so it's... yeah, we're not quite on the pulse, that one, in mind.
That looks excellent.
So cheers, Loz, for that one.
Thanks for that.
Ian, back to you. You got one more.
I have one more because two's never enough.
Two's never enough.
A brand new app just came out today from Yahoo. And it's Yahoo Weather. So I know I've done too many weather apps, but this is free. It's an iOS only at the moment. But it looks fantastic because they've integrated with Flickr. So wherever you are, it just goes and picks up, you know, a great looking photo for your location. You know, so I had a great image of Glasgow, and then I added in Bristol, added in Portsmouth, got some great images. But not just that, there wasn't much detail on the screen at the start. You look at it and it looks a fairly, you know, bare-boned app. You're just seeing that picture and you're like, well, that's nice, but that's just a picture from Flickr. So what? And you're seeing the current temperature and you're thinking, yeah, but then you slide down and you get some really nice, it's quite basic looking, but really crisp and clean over the photo. The photo blurs in the background. You scroll down more, you get some details. You scroll down more, you get a map. And then you get, you know, wind and sun and moon, and there's little animations for it as well. It looks great. And I guess, you know, Marissa Meyer has been saying, you know, we are going to push into mobile. It's all about great design. And this, I think, is an example of great design. The app looks fantastic. And obviously then they've got links into, you know, by the way, do you know about Finance, Mail, Messenger, Sportacular and Yahoo? So they're obviously doing it as a bit of an advert for other
apps. And why not? You know, good on them. You know, that's good for them.
But it looks, as I said, it looks fantastic. And the images with Flickr, finally. I mean, Yahoo have had Flickr for, 6 years? And they're finally starting
default creative license allows them to use it. So, yeah, you would have thought they would have made more use of it, wouldn't you? So, yeah.
I know everybody has a weather app on their phone, but it's free and it looks it looks so superior to the actual inbuilt Apple one. So go and grab it.
Good stuff. I was stuck looking at Mac Heist then. I was thinking, when am I going to buy? That is the end of our podcast. And if you want to find out more about us and what we do, you can do on www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us on info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Ian, where can we find you?
Blog is ind.net and Twitter as Shweepa.
And I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And my racing blog is academyracer.co.uk. Go take a look. And that's it. Thank you very much. Ahoy, me hearties. Speak to you next week. See you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
Ahoy's hello.